Hello, welcome to the weekly broadcast of Christian Temple. For the next 30 minutes, let our pastor, Brother Rob Coons, bring us the uncompromised Word of God, and let us, with the saints of God, enter into a service already in progress.
It says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If I was to say to you that I have not sinned, I would be a liar. I'm not declaring that I have not sinned. I'm declaring that I was born into sin. And I was born that I had a sentence of death on me because of that sin. You see, it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. And man is a sinner. Man was born into sin. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, is if we're born again, then what are we born into? If I was born and it was all to do with natural life and natural flesh, then why was it be necessary, and the Bible said that a man must be born again? Why is it necessary for the man that he must? It didn't say that he might or should. It said that he must. Amen. That he must be born again. The reason a man must be born again, because he's got to be born into a kingdom of God and born as a new creature. And if you are a new creature, then what is the old creature? So now we got to come to an understanding of a new and an old. We got to come to an understanding of a spirit and a flesh. And the thing is that why then, if by faith, now we're going to use the word faith again, and if by, when we go to Galatians 2:20 and it said that I'm crucified with Christ and I no longer live, and that the life that I now live in the flesh, that I live by faith. See, here's faith. Faith is so important. This life that I now, not yesterday or not tomorrow, that I now live in the flesh, that I live by faith. Amen. So what is faith? Faith being the substance things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So now, when I go into believing that I've been crucified with Christ, then if I believe that I've been crucified with him, then I have faith into this kingdom of God and this life. And if I got faith, then with this faith, I've made a confession in this faith to be with him and be joint heirs with him. And in this believing and in this faith, that I believe that I become partakers of the kingdom of God and joint heirs with him and bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and that I no longer live, then that part that no longer lived had to die. Now, let's rend the veil here for just a moment. Let's talk about a natural death. If I had the law pursuing me for crimes, and the law was pursuing me, if it was for whatever the crime was, and I drop over dead, what can the law do to me then? What can the law do to a dead man? They bury him and they put him out there in the ground. Is that true or false? Do they take this dead man because he violated the law, and they bring him up and prop him up in a courtroom or hang him on a hook, and they judge him? They don't do that, do they? He's dead. The man is dead. They're not going to judge him. Okay, now we're going to step over into another dimension. I've been crucified with Christ. Now, we were speaking of natural things you see with your natural eyes of observation. And we talk about a natural man. But now we're stepping into another realm. We step over in a transformation realm into a soul realm. And we find that I have been crucified with Christ. So I've taken that body of sin and death that's appointed unto to die, the manly part, the Son of Man. Jesus made himself twain, both Lord and Christ, both Son of God, both Son of Man. The Bible teaches us that he was the firstborn of many brethren. I've been born into the kingdom of God, so I'm coming as a son of man and a son of God. You see me as a son of man with your natural eyes of observation, but I'm not held of accountability to that thing because of faith in what he done at the cross of Calvary. And I took and killed that man out and all of his ways and his desires. I crucified and killed him out. So I killed that man out. So what did I have to do? I had to bury him. So what can you do? The only way you can bury him is in a watery grave of baptism. So it wasn't the water that washed my sins away. It wasn't the water that done that. It was the faith in the works of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood he shed. But that was the only thing that I could do to bring an expression or an evidence of what I believe within my heart that I've done to be an outer showing of this thing is by taking it to a watery grave of baptism. And it's the faith in the minister's faith in the word of God and what Jesus done, baptized me in that wonderful name of Jesus for the remission of sin. to do away with it. So the sin was done away with. Jesus said there, and it's finished. So now if we go on down again, and these are all scriptures that are very common to you, but just to keep a thought. If I'm going to believe that I'm a sinner and sin every day, if I believe I'm sinning every day, then that means that death is going to be imputed to me. Blessed is the man who God does not impute sin. If sin is imputed, then it's death. But then if I have believed the scriptures that I've passed from death unto life, and the only way that I could pass from death unto life is to by believing that sin is done away with and conquered. So why would I keep digging it up and reliving it every day? Now, here's where people get confused and have problems. They say, well, do you think you're perfect? And I say, yes, I do. I know for a fact that I'm perfect, not by my works. I stumble and I stagger, man, and my wife will tell you, if you want to talk naturally speaking, she'll say, he ain't perfect. You brethren that work with me and hang around me, you know that I'm not perfect. But see, them are, you're looking and observing life. The Bible says, no man after the flesh. But we're spiritual. We are supposed to be spirit people, spirit-led people. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit and we're speaking spiritual things and we're meditating on spiritual things and spiritual songs and spiritual hymns, then that means we're spiritual and we don't know after the flesh. But in the Spirit, yes, Jesus made us perfect. He made us perfect, not by all my works, not by my religious efforts, not by my Bible study, not by fasting, not by praying. He made us perfect. Amen. Now, I know we've rended the veil of these things where the Bible talks about the fivefold ministry sent for the perfecting of the saints. And we know that he said that he's perfected us once and for all. So we rend two veils there, two different barriers between the soul realm and the spirit realm. But trying to keep just a little theme of thought here and keep things simple. Again, and I know most of you are very well indoctrinated, but see, when you come up against these kind of things of spirits that want to kill you, that want to do away with you, sometimes you have to really know in your heart and be very established in the mind of Christ and in the Word of God and know where you stand. So if I believe that I'm a sinner and that I sin every day, then I got to believe also the Bible said that he doesn't hear the sinner's prayer. So then I got to believe that God is not hearing my prayer. I would be foolish to believe that God doesn't hear my prayer when he says to enter into the throne of grace boldly. Amen. And when he says that his ears are attentive and he hears our prayers and he says he even hears them before they're even spoken, so then I couldn't be a sinner. And the Bible goes on to say that he who sins is of the devil. And I cannot have a confession that I'm of the devil. But if I'm going to have a confession that I sin, then my confession is going to be with the Word. Somewhere I'm going to violate the Word if I'm not careful. So if I'm going to tell you that I'm a sinner, then I'm going to have to tell you that I'm of the devil. And I can't see a son of God ever speaking like that or a child of God. The Bible teaches us of confession, and he's the high priest of our confession. And when these people are running around and their confession is that they're a sinner and that they sin every day, and if he's the high priest of that confession, that means that sin is going to be imputed to them. Because that was their confession, and they believe that. But you see, I don't believe that. Now, I know that God makes allowances for little babies and ones that don't understand. But how about a man that's been preaching the gospel for 29 years? And preaching that. And teaching people that. Let me ask you, who would like for you to believe that you are a sinner more than anybody? Satan. He would like for you to believe that, because if your confession is that and you believe that, then that takes away the power of what Jesus done. Jesus died, brothers and sisters. The whole reason, the whole purpose for the crucifixion, the whole purpose for the death there at the cross of Calvary was to abolish sin. Amen. And sin, if it's not abolished, then the works of the Lord Jesus Christ was of no effect. If he didn't finish it and he didn't complete it there, brothers and sisters, then you're going to help me and tell me when it was done. And somebody's going to have to tell me where we rend this veil at. And I know where we rend it at. We rend it between the spirit and between the flesh. The thing is a God cannot sin, because sin is death and a God can't die. Boy, I could imagine if I would have spoke that to this gentleman yesterday. Boy, would he have ever. Well, I tell you what, I think I might have been a martyr for Jesus, man. I'm telling you, because I just simply disagree with the man on one little thing, and he got very angry. So I'm sure if I would have told him, I said, well, brother, I can't sin, I'm a God. Boy, he would have really come unglued with that. And I know this, I'll tell you this, standing here before you. If I stood here before you and said that I was a God in my flesh and in my first birth, it would be an abomination in God and in the eyes of God. But I know that I am because of what he made me and because of the born-again experience and for what Christ made possible for me at the works of Calvary through predestination. And that's what the Bible teaches us. So not even trying to go into those things so much as the simplicity of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. It's not hard for me to believe. There's too many scriptures that confirm this. So we find a prophetic utterance going forth, as we read right there in Daniel. And we find that when sin was done away with and when it was abolished and taken care of. So we find that there. We read right here in 1 John the 10th chapter. Says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So we're not saying that we have not sinned. We were saying that we were born into sin. And that because of that we're being born into sin, that we had the sentence of death. Because the sting of sin is death. And the transgression of the law is sin, and the sting of sin is death. So we understand that we were born as a man with the sentence of death, and it was appointed unto us once to die. So we recognize that. But I want you to note here that in this part right here, in this first letter of John, right here, that we're going to be right here within the same author, the same writings, the same one that spoke forth this, right here in this third chapter, is the one that says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. The same one wrote the other now. So which one are we going to believe? Both of them. Amen. We believe both things that he said. So we understand that. We believe that we're born of God and we cannot. Why can't we? Because his seed remaineth within us. What is that seed? It's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. It's the one that brings that quickening of that spirit and brings that life. And it's sealed us in. I want you to turn your Bibles back just a minute over to the book of Romans. I'm going to read the sixth chapter of the book of Romans to you. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, now listen to this, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Isn't that simple? How are you that are dead to sin, how could you live any longer in it? How could this man that's dead and buried out here in the graveyard, how can he transgress against the law of this land? How can the guy that's buried out there in the graveyard speed down the road here and get a speeding ticket? How can he commit murder? How could he do anything because he's dead? He can't do it. So either you are dead to your first birth and alive in Christ, or you're either still alive in your first birth and then you are committing sin and you are a sinner. Amen. It's one way or the other. There isn't no two worlds here. It's either one way or the other. Now, I started to say this a minute ago, and this is where people really get confused. It isn't the action. It isn't the thing of saying, well, this is sin and this isn't sin. You know, it's not the thing of saying, well, you know, I believe that drinking is sin and I believe that this is sin and this isn't sin. That's not the matter here. You're not even in the realms of where you should be in thought. The thing is it's blessed is the man who God does not impute sin. Now, why would he impute sin to one man and he would be freed from it? And then why would it be imputed to another man? And why would it, again, the Bible said some men's sins go before them and some after them. Why would it be that way? So is it the fact of the action? Is it because of the way you live your life and the way that you go to church and the way that you give your finances and the way you keep your language and the way you do all that makes you not a sinner? No, not at all. It said because the seed remaineth within you. And that's what seals you in. It doesn't teach us here that it's by our actions and by our deeds and by those things. It's going to faith. In faith into believing what he done. Faith in believing what Jesus done for you. Faith in predestination in the works of Christ. Faith that he put your name in the book of life. You say, okay. So it's simply having faith, believing that Jesus died and took away my sins. So if I believe that, it doesn't matter how I live. It doesn't matter what I do and doesn't matter how I live, because I simply got faith and I believe that Jesus done it and died and took my sins away. Now, if you simply believe that, I'm telling you the truth, then your sins will be remitted and your sins will be taken away. If you have enough faith and to really believe what Jesus done there at Calvary, and you have enough faith to believe that he died and shed his blood for you, and you really, truly in your heart, you believe that, then you truly will have your sins remitted and your sins will truly be taken away. But what made you that way? Faith. Now, what makes you have faith? And what makes your faith real? See, there always comes back. And you say, well, Brother Rob, Brother Pike made this statement on a tape today. He says, you know what? He said, you tricked us. You told us that we're saved by grace and through faith. You told us all these things, that our sins are remitted and taken away. And then you always trick us and come back around. And now you're going to bring it back to works. You see, it isn't that way. It isn't that way. We're not saved by our actions. We're not saved by our works. The works are there to show that our faith is alive. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It isn't your works that saves you. It's your works that's the fruit of the faith that you have. So what are your works and what are your deeds of? If your deeds and your actions are worldly, then your father is the devil, according to the scriptures. It's that simple. And if your deeds and your actions are godly, you see, and righteous and holy, it said that he come to bring forth and fulfill righteousness and to bring eternal righteousness, what we read there in Daniel. He said, eternal righteousness and do away with iniquity. You see, brothers and sisters, these things will never become a revelation to you until God grants it as a revelation to you. It's simple. It is so simple. And it isn't complicated whatsoever at all. I'm simply saying this, that when you're truly born of God, then you truly have his spirit. And if you truly have his spirit, then you have power. Amen. That's what the Bible said. He said that he's going to send back the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, and endue you with power. Power. He says that you are greater and more than conquerors. So the thing is if you are weak, then let you say that you are strong, according to the scriptures. Let your confession is greater that is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is dwelling in my innermost being and has in tabernacled himself within my spirit and intertwined himself in his spirit and made me joint heirs with him and made me one with him. And greater is he than the outer garment of iniquity or this flesh. Greater is he than my fleshly desires. Greater is he than the lust of the flesh. Greater is he than the pride of life. Greater is he than all the wealth of the world and the riches of the world and the fame of the world. Greater is he. And when he is greater and you got full of that power of God, then you overcome the things that are unpleasing to him. Amen. Yeah. Amen. We walk beyond sin. Amen. We walk beyond it. You say, but Brother Rob, what if I stumble? What if I stagger? How did he say when the disciples said, I pray? He said, Father, forgive us our trespasses. When we trespass against God and we fail, you see, were one person do the same thing, it would be imputed to them as sin and they're separated from God and cast into hell. And you say, it makes God a respecter of person. And the Bible said that he is no respecter of person. So why would he put one into hell and one not? When the Bible says, who are you to find fault with him? Who are you to find fault with God if he makes one vessel to honor and one to dishonor? You see, that makes him a respecter of person if he's going to honor this one and dishonor this one. No, he's not a respecter of person, but he is a respecter of his word. And this word is true, and let every man be a liar. And what this word says, he's going to stand with what this word. And it's not that he disrespect you to put you into hell. It's that you disrespected him and his word and didn't line up with his word. And you found that this word was judging you, and it was the word that separated you from God. It was the word, and it was the word that separated you, but it was you in rebellion to the word. It's you. Amen. You see, God isn't the one that brought sin. You said, but the Bible says that if good or evil comes to the city, that he sent it. But he didn't send sin because he didn't send death. God isn't the author of death. Who is the author of death? Was it man? No, it's the devil. And see, man was obedient to that and submit itself to that, so man's going to walk in that by being intertwined with that angelic spirit, the fallen spirit of Satan. There's many things, brothers and sisters, that are so simple in the revelation of the Lord. But to the eyes of the wise and the prudent, it's foolishness, and they'll never comprehend it. They'll never see it. But I'm going to read here some of these in Romans. And then there's another scripture I may want to read to you. Let me see if I can go ahead and just read this. It says, what shall we say then, beginning again at the first verse? We continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we are dead to sin live any longer then? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. Knowing this, that our old man, our first birth, I'll say, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Hallelujah. Ain't that awesome? Amen. Pretty simple, isn't it? Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye. Who is he talking to? Likewise, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. So if we sin every day, could we be dead to it? Surely not. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can't do this outside of Christ. Amen. You cannot be an individual that has no sin outside of Christ. That's the only way to do it. It's through him. There ain't no way. You can't do it in your righteousness. You can't do it in believing. You can't do it in your actions. You can't do it in your thoughts. You can't do it any way except through Christ. And when you're through Christ, in Christ, and he says he's through you and in you all, then you are one with him, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Paul said, I show you a mystery. When a man and woman marry, again, we bring that into another dimension of thought, that we being the bride of Christ, married unto him, become one, join heirs with him. We become rule with him in all of his kingdom by being heir with him. And we can't get into the kingdom of God with sin. Okay, let's go back here. Likewise, reckon ye also, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed into sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. What does that mean? In other words, the lasciviousness of the flesh, the things of the natural life, don't let them things reign in your mortal body, the temporal part of you. Don't let those things be reckoned unto you or people see those things alive in you. You can say that you have faith. You can say that you don't have sin and all those things. But if it's reigning in your mortal body, then you're deceived. And it can't be. But let's go on. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as the instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. How do you do those things? Works. You're going to do it by faith. He's talking here about bringing these things in the mortal body into a manifestation. Is sin manifesting in your mortal body, or is righteousness in Christ, being alive in Christ, bringing that life of Christ manifesting within the mortal body? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So does that mean that the law is done away with there to us that are under grace? Surely it is. Or otherwise we would have been in a lot of trouble a long time ago. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey? God, that's so beautiful. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants. Listen now, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were, the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Boy, I'm glad I preach doctrine. Amen. Obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when we were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If the wages of sin is death, then sin's got to be done away with. Or we're going to have this wage given unto us, which is death. So it's pretty simple. All the way through Romans, the sixth chapter here, it's very clear. All the way through 1 John, 3 John, it's very clear what's happened to sin and where sin went and who we are in Him. And what we've come to understand and know. Brothers and sisters, that's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life being made manifest in this day and hour. You say, God, pray that God would grant the spirit of revelation to you. I'm telling you, a man has got to come to the revelation of who he is in Jesus Christ. Come to the revelation. That is the revelation of Jesus, is when you come to understanding that he is revealed within you. He has not sinned, and you are one with Him. He showed us the mystery, that we become one with Him. And we are, it's not because of who we are, it's because of who He is. Amen. It's not because of what I done, it's because what He done. You see, when we teach these things, brothers and sisters, we're not boasting in ourselves. We're not boasting in a denomination that we are a supreme denomination over the rest of these denominational churches, and that we are some supreme denomination because we believe what's right and they don't believe what's right. We don't get angry within our hearts and our life because they don't believe the way we believe. You see, we're not haughty or puffed up within our fleshly mind and within what our deeds are, what we've done. But we are children of God that are rejoicing in what He has done for us and in the way and the things that He's done, and just simply believing in those things.